Welcome to the Connecting with Students for Success podcast series. I'm Jean Kornstrom. I coordinate the program primarily for students, but today we are going to be looking at the podcast from the faculty perspective. We're very pleased in Sul Ross to have 40 faculty who participate in the Connecting with Students for Success program, and today we're going to hear from three of them. Would you first introduce yourself, tell the subject you teach, and tell why you joined at the beginning? You might have changed by now, but why you joined Connecting with Students for Success. And Jessica, would you start, please?
Sure. I'm Jessica Velasco. I'm an associate professor of political science and public administration. And the reason why I initially joined, I was going to join the first year it came out, but all of the classes I basically taught at that point were pretty large, and I was a little nervous about taking on the personal meeting piece. But then I, in the fall of 2024, I was coming back into the first year seminar faculty ranks, and we needed to meet with them anyway. And so that being the one piece that was kind of holding me back, I said, we're going to have to do it anyway, might as well, two birds. So I signed up with it, and I signed up again this semester with a graduate class, and because I thought it was such a great program. So
thank you.
I'm Melissa Wesney. I'm an assistant professor of education and program coordinator. For me, I did join the pilot, so before it became a thing, for two reasons. One, I was kind of new to Sul Ross still, so I wanted to get to know colleagues. And having come from an elementary school background, I'm used to collaborating and already doing those four practices naturally. So I just wanted the opportunity to work with others across the campus in content areas.
And my name's Carl Igo. I'm fairly new to Sul Ross. I just completed my second year here. I am an associate professor in agricultural education. And I think that the reason that I joined was an opportunity to make some connections with my students. Being a brand new faculty member, coming from a much larger university, I saw this as an opportunity to really connect with students in a way that hopefully would not only provide me some background and some understanding of who they are and why they were here, but then also to let them see why I'm here.
Hey, thank you very much. You really lead into the next question, because the program, as we said before, is to promote connections with students. When you joined, did you have any expectations of building connections with other faculty? Jessica?
I don't think I'd thought about that, actually. I think I was focused on, you know, getting the four components completed, and I knew we had those meetings and the books that we were going to be reading, but I really hadn't thought about that. So it really was an unanticipated benefit.
For me, I was hopeful for it. Coming from the pre-K-12 environment, I'm used to collaboration, and I wanted that same sense of collaboration in higher ed. So since I had seen there were meetings involved, I assumed there would be some sort of connection made, and it has been great. It's more than I expected to know colleagues in other departments and disciplines and to really learn from one another and see the different perspectives on students based on disciplines.
Well, honestly, it was really not something that I initially thought about upon joining the program. But thanks for giving us the question ahead of time, because the question triggered me to think about why I didn't really think about any faculty colleague benefits. And I think it is because we are all content experts. We all have our terminal degrees in our specific content area. And because of that, we don't really want to admit that we don't know everything there is to know about what we're supposed to be teaching. But as Melissa hinted, coming from a K-12 education background, which I also have, I recognize that a lot of times As faculty members, yes, we are content experts, but we are not necessarily experts at how to really connect with, impact our students. And so that then led me to think about a song by Paul Simon. I'm not going to sing it. But one of the verses is, I built walls, a fortress steep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. Anybody know the name of that song?
I Am a Rock.
It is I Am a Rock. And the chorus is, I am a rock, I am an island, and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. So, as faculty members, that's kind of the way we are. We build this island that we are our own experts on, and we don't let anyone else in. So having the opportunity to be honest and truthful in that closed-door setting with our cohort groups allowed me to really make connections with faculty and learn from them about some of the things that I could do better.
Thank you very much. I think it's important at this time to really share the unexpected rewards that you did get from interacting with each other. So if you have any particular experiences, we don't have to necessarily go in the same order. You can jump in. But if there's any particular experience, and I know, Melissa, you have a particular experience because you are the one who said, why do we have this session? So let's start with you. What do you feel was a special relationship benefit that you got from this working with faculty?
Yes. So as I said, I was part of the pilot, and I had been here 1 year at that time. And when I started, there was no onboarding, so I kind of spent a year floating around. So that next year, there was also onboarding, so I got to meet a group of people, and some of those same people also did the pilot, like Joanna Sanderson in business, Hugo, who has since left the university. So I developed these relationships, and currently now I would say Joanna's one of my good friends. Being on the same floor, we have a chance to talk and share, you know, frustrations or things that are going on and give each other different perspectives and advice. So that's been very helpful. If I wasn't part of this, I would not have met Carl over here, who I find very delightful and funny, and I think we have a similar personality in our view of connecting with students. So that's been a joy, and then Jessica as well. We've overlapped in some other areas as well, but gotten to know better. So you kind of get off the island Carl was talking about, and something important is we're a smaller university. So we do share students, which is the same as K-12. You share your students with everyone, and the ultimate goal is the success of those students. So I think by making those connections, we do get more student-focused holistically and not just think of our individual class as needing to be successful, but for them to be successful in all of their courses.
Yeah, I would say it's also been interesting. I think the example I think about is listening to Carolyn Barrientos, who teaches in theater, and how different that can be, but also the similarities. And I do think, you know, similar to what Carl was saying earlier, we do tend to kind of be in our silos and focus very much and interact with the people in our disciplines and think about things through those lenses. And so it has been very nice to kind of think about things through other lenses and hear how there's different types of challenges sometimes with different, for example, with theater, where, you know, the types of feedback I may give and the types of assignments I may give are much more objective. And we're in theater, in the arts, it's more subjective. And so there's a different element and there's different things you have to consider when you give feedback in that way. But at the same time, still struggling with some of the same things with students in terms of helping them understand instructions and helping them not shut down when you give them, you know, what may be construed as negative feedback or whatever. So there's some things that overlap still, and that's nice to have that time to share those struggles, but at the same time, hearing the different lenses has been really interesting. Yeah.
I concur with what both of my colleagues say. I think one of the things was, again, that shared students. We are a small university, and just we know that. We know that we have are likely to have shared students, but coming together and students, it's not that we talk about you during those meetings, but just being able to share that we do have students with very similar successes and very similar challenges, such that, oh, we share a student. Oh, this is how you made a connection with that student. And it has just helped a lot to have those conversations about not naming students, but Jessica saying, well, this is what I do in my political science class. Okay. Wow, that's how you, because political science can get into some really heavy, loaded, politicized kind of conversations every now and then. But so can education, and so can agriculture. So having some of those conversations that allow us to think about, wow, that could potentially work in my class as well, has been really helpful.
All of you have really addressed the next question, but I'll raise it in case you have other things to add. After your participation in Connecting with Students for Success, do you see ways that you have changed in your interactions with your faculty, colleagues, or your students? Anything you'd like to add?
I would say it's just made me more aware. Coming from education, these were things I was already trained to do. And so I guess I naturally assumed all professors just knew how to do this. And I've since learned, no, like Carl said, content experts, they didn't receive the same training that I received. So getting to learn about that and be more understanding. I've also learned more about the different programs. Being in my little building, I had never been to the offsite campus or other places on campus, because you kind of stick to your building and what you know. So it's made me understand the differences in programs, what they're looking for in students. And then I've actually learned some from others on things I might implement for like the getting to know you at the start of the semester, or other ways that they give feedback compared to how I do that I can try as well. So
go ahead, Jess.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking about how it again, I think a lot of the things we've read in the books and the things we've talked about are not necessarily things I'd never heard before, but some of them actually were. Some of them made me stop and think about the, because feedback, it isn't just the formal feedback. It's all the things we do and say. And so that affects faculty, that affects the students we interact, it affects everybody. And so I think it has changed the intention I use when I'm picking the language. You know, an example I'll use is, I think I used to use a phrasing a lot of, you, please make sure to, or you need to, instead of like, I would like to see, because there's something just less personal about that. And it's focused more on the content versus the person. So just little things like that, that I think do make a big impact. But by that same token, when you're interacting with a faculty member and you're sending an email or you're having that conversation, I think those same things matter and how they perceive the interaction that you have with them. And so I think it definitely has, and maybe in more, in smaller ways, but those things all matter. Yeah.
I would say that I hope, I believe, that I am more open to hearing others' ideas. I love hearing about other people's successes, but I also, not that I love hearing about other people's failures, but the challenges that everyone faces, because, again, that silo or island effect gets broken down when we can share, I was struggling with this, and because of this book, I found on page XYZ the answer, and I'm like, oh, wow. You know, so I bring my books everywhere because somebody's going to tell me something, and it's going to cause me to think about an incident that happened in one of my classes that then I could make sure that that incident either doesn't happen again in the future or that my response is going to be very different in the future. Be much more constructive, much more supportive of students. I will admit that I have one of those faces that just gives away pretty much every feeling that I have. So when I'm feeling disgusted with students, they can tell it. And because of some of our interactions, I've learned to smile a little bit more.
Well, the university does support this Connecting with Students for Success program because it has demonstrated an impact on positive student retention. But we also recognize that it is the faculty who implement it. So I do administer a survey to the faculty to say, find out how is the program working for you? What thoughts do you have about it? And I did share the results of the survey. And I'm just interested in your assessment of the results. If you feel like there's certain things that the university should be doing more to support you in being effective in the program. So it's just kind of a wide open question. And I it's not going to be more money, I wish.
You have an answer, so go for it.
Well, I looked at the four. Are they appropriate? And I said they are. Again, it may just be my elementary mindset that those are things you should be doing. I think of students as our customers. We're here to serve them ultimately. So we should be doing those things. But I will say the one-on-one can be very difficult. Some of us have courses that are 40 plus students. And when that happens, sometimes it's hard to get to all of them, or there's students who just don't want to meet with you. They ignore your emails, or they just don't want that. And then knowing students' names for me has been difficult, which was hard for me because in elementary, you learn students' names within the first week. But you also see them every day right in front of you. And the majority of my students are virtual and don't turn their cameras on. And I've learned for me, faces is what I learn first, and then I connect the names. So that one is one. There are some students, unfortunately, until I've had them a couple times, I do struggle to remember their name because I don't see them. They won't turn on their camera, even though I have a participation grade. They're willing to take the hit because they don't want their camera on, which I get, that's difficult. But those two can be difficult to meet. I was surprised to see that the value of feedback was higher both for faculty and students versus name. But again, I think that's my second grade mindset, thinking names are most important. So knowing that, I've been a lot more intentional in giving very, very specific feedbacks since learning students really want that feedback versus knowing their name. I still work on that, but in those larger classes, it's hard.
Go ahead, Carl.
Well, I concur with most of what Melissa said. You know, coming into the program, the scariest part is thinking about, oh, I have to have a meeting with every student. And yes, it can be difficult sometimes to get them to commit to scheduling that appointment. But honestly, it's been one of the most fulfilling components of the program, having that one-on-one meeting with the student in a safe place where after, again, go to some of the books, you know, we know how to ask some off task, if you will, kinds of questions that get them to open up a little bit. And then they open up and you learn all kinds of things about a student and you learn some of the struggles, but you also learn some of the successes and you learn some of the goals. And suddenly you're laughing about some shared experience that you've had from the past. So the time commitment for that is something that was most, I guess, the biggest struggle for me. But it's also the most fulfilling. Isn't that the way life is?
Hard things, yep. Well, and I agree. I think the other piece of the meeting, and it, yeah, I was not surprised to see that be the one that was on the surveys the hardest or the most struggle. And I think the other piece of it is because we try to have it in those first 2 weeks of class, which are the most crazy. Well, now I almost feel like there's not any non-crazy part of the semester,
yes.
But those are really crazy, I guess. So I think that's the other piece of it. But I was thinking about to a conversation I had with Dr. Chen, my colleague, who's fantastic. And I'd asked him why he hadn't joined it yet. Because I'm like, I know you're doing these things because my son's had him in class. And so I know he's a great instructor. But and I said, so why aren't you doing it? And he said, well, he looked at it and he's like, I think he was kind of having this struggle with, why would we get paid for something that we should be doing? And I'm like, well, not everybody's doing it. First of all, you're great. But yes, we had a conversation about that. And you know, and he, because he has meetings with a lot of his students, not as large first year federal government classes, but with all his others, he tends to for papers and stuff. So I just thought that was interesting, though, that he had that reaction of like, why would I sign up for something to get paid for what we're supposed to do? So I thought that was very interesting. The thing that I find interesting about the survey results is that the one on holding students to high standards by offering support, I think actually based on conversations I've had with faculty over the years, that we struggle with that. And I think especially coming out of COVID, because we had such an extended period of time where we needed to be very flexible with our students, and students, I think, learned to need that flexibility to operate. And I think we've had an adjustment period of trying to get back to normal with that. And I think faculty as well, because we want to support our students. And I think especially the types of faculty who sign up for these types of programs, we want them to succeed. We want to be there for them. We want to be flexible. But how do you be flexible and supportive while also holding standards? I think that's very difficult. So I think it's interesting that that one was not another one that was ranked as difficult based on conversations I've had. So,
well, thank you all for being a part of this and sharing your insights. I'm very excited because we have cohort one who is continuing into the third year, cohort two going into the second year, and cohort three going into the next year as well. And we're looking to add a new cohort. The thing that I think is really important about this program is that it is voluntary. People choose to do it. And I think in our discussion today, you've expanded on many of the benefits that you might not even anticipate. So for the last question, if you were going to be talking with one of your colleagues,
Ed,
how would you encourage that person to join Connecting with Students for Success? What would you say?
Okay, they're looking at me like, I would say it is a great way to get to know your students. And it's an incredible way to get to know your faculty colleagues. You know, we're all in different buildings. Some of us are on different campuses, if you will. So we don't know a lot about each other. We see each other at meetings occasionally. But being able to get to know, these two ladies enough that I am comfortable saying, how do you deal with that? Has helped me. It's helped me a lot. And I'm an old guy, you know. I've been in education for years. So being able to get to the point where I can admit that I don't have all the answers, but I can reach out to someone who, because of something they said during one of our Connecting with Students for Success meetings, let me know that, wow, you know, they can help me solve that problem for myself, then that's enough reason. That's all the reason anyone should need to get involved with this program.
I'd say being a small university, we actually have a very unique opportunity to reach our students. I went to university that I thought was small until I came here to work. But I remember sitting in those big lecture halls. My teacher didn't know if I showed up or not. They graded my work, but there was no personal connection. And so that's part of what I enjoy about working here is I do hear student stories and learn things that I may have not other known that helps me understand them better. And I find once we build that, they trust to come to me for advice or for advising or to ask for an extension when they need it. That's when we've worked on, is just asking. I tell them, I'll tell you, yes, just ask. So I just think we have this very unique opportunity that everyone should be taking advantage of. Because then when they go out into the world, if they leave with this such a great experience, they're going to recommend us to other students of, wow, I loved my time at Sol Ross. My professors got to know me, especially if you have them for 3, 4, 5 classes like I do. If I don't know them by the end, there's something wrong with that. If they don't leave remembering my name and a good experience, there's something wrong with that. So I just really think, like your colleague said, it's something I'm already doing, but my perspective was I'm already doing it, so might as well join and help encourage others to do it. So hopefully he's joining.
Yes.
Good.
In addition to what my two colleagues have said, I think the other piece of it is we get so busy doing so many things, and I think there's a lot of things we know we should do. There's a lot of things we know we should focus on, things that are important. And I think about it just like all the other, you know, trainings we have to go through. Sometimes we kind of like, oh, we have to do this. But it's important to have this time where you're kind of pausing to take the intention to really focus on something to do it well. And I think in this program, you get the time through reading the books, through having the conversations, to, you know, developing however you're going to approach your meetings with your students. So you have that time to really learn to be intentional about feedback and connection. And again, I think we tend to do these things, but when you do them with intention, it really matters. And so I think that's, you know, taking that time is important.
And I'd say it holds us accountable. Right. So I know I do it, but having this report to turn in or meetings that I know I'm going to, it puts it in the forefront to make it intentional.
Yeah.
Because there's an accountability factor. I'm going to be ask questions or have things to turn in.
And if I may add one more thing, I know that there are probably faculty out there who are thinking, I just don't have time. I don't need anything else on my platter. But honestly, I think all three of us would say this has not added much time. Yes, it has added some time, but it's not like, oh my goodness, I've got another deadline to meet. Because our leader is always really good about letting us turn things in a week late or whatever because we didn't get it done on time. It is not, please do not let that idea that I just don't have time to add one more thing to my plate prevent you from joining a cohort group and getting involved with this program.
Well, I have to say, I feel so lucky to be able to work with you and the other faculty who have committed to Connecting with Students for Success. And thank you very much for what you do for students, what you've done for all of us, and your time today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.